Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information and support. And now it's time to relax with our coffee break.
Hi everyone, I'd like to introduce to you Andrea Begley, and last year, 2013, she was the winner of The Voice. Hi Andrea.
Hi Jo, how are you? Nice, pleasure to be here.
Thanks very much for joining us. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your background first, your childhood and how you came to be interested in music?
Yeah, of course. Well, music's really been a massive part of my life for as long as I can remember. I think everyone in my family will probably agree I've been singing as long as I've been able to talk, and there's some very embarrassing videos of me as a toddler and 3 and 4 year old singing nursery rhymes and just thinking I was, absolutely amazing. It's squalling out, Humpty Dumpty or something. But I mean, as the years went by, music took different forms for me. I learned piano from the age of 8, and I sang in school choirs, church choirs, local competitions. My music interest is also heavily influenced by my aunt, who is Philomena Begley, who's quite a popular singer of like Irish country music in here, and she's quite well known in America and across the UK as well. So she would have always been quite a role model to me when I was younger, of someone who's very successful at what she does. And I never really thought for a long time about making a career out of music, because I know how difficult it can be and how unreliable it can be. And I think for me, I was quite thankfully academic, and I really stuck at the books and went to university, studied law and politics in Belfast, and really went down that academic 9-to-5 route and got a job with the civil service. And I enjoyed that, and it was very fulfilling in a way. But I also always did the music as a pastime and as a hobby, and I loved doing that, and I loved singing, of course, especially.
So obviously you were in education singing as well, and then The Voice came along, and you thought, did you plan to do that sort of thing, or was it one of these, let's have a go and see what happens?
No, definitely not. It was very much a kind of give it a shot and see type of thing. It wasn't something I'd planned for, or I'd never been one for going into TV shows or being a 15 minutes of fame person. It really wasn't the TV side of it that appeals to me. Really, my background in the past 10 years has been working with other songwriters, learning guitar, playing music nights, open mics, acoustic nights, and trying to kind of develop my songs and develop my performance. And The Voice really came along as a bit of a, surprise really to me in a lot of ways. I'd watched the first series and I thought it was a really good concept, and I thought the show was very much more about music. And to me, it wasn't just about the TV side of it. Obviously, it was a TV entertainment show, but it was much more about, singing and about your ability to sing rather than whether you look good and could dance around the stage. So I really went in for it simply because a friend of mine who knew me through the music scene in Northern Ireland said, look, the producers of the show are coming to Belfast. They would like to meet people who might be interested in going for the show. Would you think of doing it? And I said, oh, I don't know. I mean, it'd be nice in a way, and it'd be great to meet like people like Tom Jones and Danny O'Donoghue and Will.i.am and Jesse J. But another part of me was quite reluctant, because I always felt that going into something like a TV show came with its inevitable potentially negative side, especially if you've got a visual impairment, because ultimately you know that people possibly are going to criticize you for being the sob story and the token disabled person and all those kind of things as well.
So what happened do you want to sort of talk us through the kind of audition stage and what happened with that, because I don't think we really know, do we? Nobody on the outside ever really gets to know properly
No.
what it's like.
Yeah, exactly. I think a lot of people are under the impression that you go to the TV studio and you turn up on the day and you queue with everybody else and everybody gets a chance to stand in front of the judges and do their bit, but that's definitely not the case. There's at least 3 to 4 episodes or rounds in front of producers. Obviously, the coaches are completely kept separate. They don't know anything about the people in the show, but you do sing in front of producers. You talk about the type of music that you would envisage singing if you did an audition on the show, what your background is, what your interests are in music, and what your experience is as well. And I think for me, I suppose, what I learned really from the show, and this happens in all TV shows, it's not just The Voice. This show is very much, it's a two-way thing. It's a show about music, but it's also a TV program. So they always have to ensure that, you know, they're getting that sort of TV entertainment side of it, as well as getting the music side. And the good thing about The Voice, I always find, is that anyone who's on the show, even if the coaches don't turn around for them, they're actually all very good singers, and nobody's actually a bad singer. So the TV people don't put you on the show to be made fun out of. It's simply if the coaches go for your type of voice or not, and that's something that they don't have any say over. It's up to the coaches, really.
Yeah, I really like that side of The Voice, because they've got the backs turned to you, and it's not about, like you said before, it's not about what you look like, is it, or anything like that. It's The Voice, and they turn around if they like your voice, don't they, and if they like your style of singing, which I think is really good.
Yeah, I totally agree. And for me, I think that was the fundamental reason that made me think this show is good for me to do, because up to that point, a lot of other programs I thought were a bit manipulative and maybe weren't just as focused on the music as I would have liked them to be. And I felt for me to take part in anything, it had to be mainly about the music and not so much about the TV side. And I thought The Voice got the balance right between those two things.
And obviously you were going through The Voice as a visually impaired contestant as well. How did you find, you know, your fellow contestants and obviously the crew and the judges and everyone else? You know?
I have to say, overall, everybody, I think, took, you know, pretty well to me. I think the good thing for me is I'm quite upfront with people and I'm quite comfortable with my visual impairment, and I don't really allow it to be the elephant in the room. I kind of make people realise that I'm just the same as everyone else. I need a bit of help with things. I was very lucky in that the crew were very supportive. They were always very pleasant to deal with. And I was also very fortunate to have my sister with me throughout it. And she is fully sighted, and she was a great help to me, you know, through both the audition stage and then also moving over to London with me when it came to the live shows. And it was a bit of an adventure, really, for the two of us in the end. And, you know, we both really enjoyed the experience. But, I mean, in terms of the contestants, I think possibly at the start, some of the contestants were a little bit dubious and didn't really know what to make of me. I suppose you could be forgiven for thinking, or they could be forgiven for thinking that I was there because, oh, you know, they needed a token blind person or disabled person, and maybe I didn't really earn my place. And I think they realised as the show went on that I was there just on the same basis as the rest of the contestants. But there were a few incidents. Now, there was one particular contestant who tried to ask me if I could see them by, like, shouting right into my face, which wasn't particularly helpful. But I think, I mean, that's not just something that you come across with TV music contestants. I mean, I'm sure everyone who's listening has had an issue in the past of people who approach them who, you know, aren't aware of visual impairment and aren't really aware of how to react. And you often find that people who've never experienced it before, you know, they don't really use their common sense sometimes, and they react. Probably, you know, when they look back on it a few minutes later, they'll probably think, I mean, that was so daft. Why did I do that? But people's gut reaction can be quite funny sometimes. And I think that was just an example of that, really.
So a year down the line, we're just seeing the finals of The Voice now. So what was it like when you know, did you have any kind of idea that you would win, or that, you know, were you just kind of thinking, oh, well, you know, if I do, that's great? Or and what was it like when you actually did, when your voice was called, when your name was called out and you realised you'd won?
Well, I have to say it was a shock. It really was. I mean, I never, as I said before, I entered the show purely as a bit of a shot in the dark and a kind of an opportunity, really, to raise my profile a bit and hope that maybe I'd get a few more gigs at home and a little bit more recognition. And that was really it. I didn't expect to get to the final, and I certainly didn't expect to win. So I think on the night I was very much one of the underdogs, because anyone who followed the show would know that Leah, who was actually from Northern Ireland as well, was very much hotly tipped to be the winner. So from my point of view, winning really wasn't something I thought about. I actually really wanted to just get through the final, do the best I could. I wasn't feeling particularly well today. I was finding a cold coming on, just because we'd been so exhausted and practicing so much that, you know, your immune system starts to fall a wee bit and you start to go, oh no. Not so much that I wasn't looking forward to it, but I was starting to feel a little bit anxious, and I just wanted to make sure I'd done the best that I could. And after that, I knew it was out of my hands and it was up to the public to make their decision. And luckily, in the end, they decided to go with me.
So 12 months on, how has it affected you? What sort of things are you doing now?
Well, it's definitely opened some doors for me. Obviously, coming out of the show, I got a record deal and I recorded my first album, which came out in October last year and went in at number 7 in the charts, The Message. And that was really exciting for me. I've never done very much recording before. I'd done a little bit just of some of my own songs with a friend in the studio at home, but nothing on the scale that I got to do with The Voice. I've been able to travel to Beijing to perform in front of 13,000 people. I've performed in the Albert Hall on Strictly Come Dancing. I mean, plenty of things that I would never have had the chance to do if I hadn't been on The Voice. And, you know, I think a lot of people maybe believe that when you win a show like The Voice or a lot of other programs that, you know, you're made for life in terms of a music career. The show has been a great platform for me and it's been a great step up, and certainly I wouldn't have got to do some of the things that I've done without it. But there's no doubt about it, in terms of the future, it's really very much a case of keeping writing your own material, keeping out there, gigging, keeping your profile out there, and that's really what my focus is at the moment.
Right, well, we're going to listen to one of your songs at the end of this as well. So which song is it we're gonna listen to?
Well, the song that I think I'd like the listeners to hear is probably one of my own tracks. It's actually one that I worked on with Danny O'Donoghue off of The Script, and it's called The Message, which is the title track of my album.
And how can people get hold of your music or get hold of, you know, hear more about you?
Well, they can hear more about me by following me on Twitter. I'm under A Begley Music on Twitter, and I'm on Andrea Begley Music on Facebook. You can also get my music, all good outlets, iTunes, Amazon. I think a lot of the supermarkets sell the CD as well, because I know some people prefer the CD option, but we're on Spotify, all the normal places to find me, and it'll be under Andrea Begley, The Message.
So is there anything else you want to sort of share or say or encourage people who are thinking, should I go into a music career or anything like that?
I think really for me, I find getting into music and a music career through a bit of a strange path, in that I've always done music as a hobby, as I said earlier, in a pastime, but never really thought I could make a career out of it. Now, the show has certainly given me the platform and opened the doors for me to do that now, but I don't think anybody should be discouraged from pursuing their dream in terms of a music career. But I certainly wouldn't want to leave anybody under any illusions either, that it's exceptionally tough, and it is. It's tough for anyone, but like a lot of things in life, as we all know, when you've got a visual impairment, there are those little added difficulties and getting around to gigs and moving around the stage and things like that. But at the same time, you shouldn't let that put you off. I think just you need to be aware of it, but not let it control you and not let it control what you want to do. And that's really been my attitude, and it continues to be my attitude about it.
Can I ask you about Danny? What was it like having him as your... He was your coach, wasn't he?
Oh, Danny, yeah. He was lovely. He was really, really pleasant and very easy to speak to. And we always had a good laugh. And he actually was quite funny about my visual impairment as well. You know, I used to keep him going, because he used to ask me, you know, what would you think of doing for your album? And I said, well, I've got a lot of background in Irish music and folk music, and I sort of joked with him and said I might call my first album Blind as Folk. So we thought that was he found that quite entertaining. But we always had a good laugh. He's a very obviously talented person, and he still keeps in touch with me. And you know, I know he's got a new album coming out later this year, so I can't wait to hear that.
Fantastic! Thanks very much, Andrea.
No problem at all. It's a pleasure to speak.
Yeah, it's been great to have you on and obviously let people have that insight into you. And thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
Agonized over the words to use. Shady cover to hide a deeper bruise. Fretting enough over the content. Plant the seed. Maybe you'll see.
Contact us by emailing podcast@vitalk.co.uk, on Facebook by searching for VI Talk, on Twitter @VITalkPodcast, and our website address is www.vitalk.co.uk.